Tonight's episode of Survivor Know-It-Alls is sponsored by our friends over at ZipRecruiter. You heard at the Tribal Council tonight, Karishma talked about how it was like the Vokai tribe was looking to hire a position from somebody from Lero, and we know that hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Mishkowitz, he needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, and he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. That's when he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. It has technology that identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job so you get the qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter, said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates applying. And then he used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. That's how Dylan found the new director of coffee in just a few days with results like that. It's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free with our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. SURVIVE. ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are here live after episode number 5.
Wow.
Coming to you live from your local Applebee's. I'm Rob Cicerino here with Stephen Fishback. Stephen, how are you?
I love Rob has a podcast. I'm going to remember this podcast for the rest of my life.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Stephen, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's funny how like each person, and it was always like a disembodied voice off screen that was like, I love Applebee's.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Tell us how much you love Applebee's. So much that we didn't even go to the Island of the Idols. That's how much people love Applebee's.
Well, do you think that Rob and Sandra were just like chowing down on their own Applebee's delivery?
I saw Sandra posted on Instagram that she didn't get any Applebee's. Now, Sandra is a longtime supporter of the Outback
Steakhouse.
Steakhouse. Although she had said recently that she didn't think that they were as good anymore. So I'm not sure if Sandra has love for Applebee's.
Oh, Matt, you think it's like a rival thing? Well, Applebee's is Christmas favorite restaurant.
Wow, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, didn't she say that? It's her favorite restaurant because she's only ever been to one restaurant.
She loves it, yeah.
Yeah.
Stephen, how often do you frequent the Applebee's?
I think I once went into an Applebee's. I think actually, I may be misremembering which thing it was. I think it was when like Susie Smith was visiting New York and she had like a train of people with her. Yeah. It's very Survivor related for me. Susie Smith was visiting New York and Susie Smith is in town. You got to go see Susie Smith. And so I stopped by the Applebee's to say hello. I don't think I actually ate there though.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. I would have guessed that you never set foot in an Applebee's in your life.
I'll do anything for Susie Smith.
There you go. All right. So here we are live after episode number 5. Our swap has happened. Tom is gone. We'll break it all down. Lots of stuff to get to tonight. Scott St. Pierre is not with us for our live show tonight, but we are still
missed.
He will be greatly missed, but we will take your questions later on in the show via the YouTube chat. So we'll go ahead and fire those up. Start asking your questions. questions once we get to the question portion of the show, and we will be able to bring your comments into the show, just like this one. Stacked in Florida says, BS on favorite restaurant. I will go if I am meeting friends. That's it. So just to show you exactly what we're capable of here tonight. Yeah. There you go.
Well, Scott St. Pierre is irreplaceable, but if he were to be replaced, it would be by a tech algorithm.
Yeah, so we could take those questions later on. Okay, so also, we've got a lot going on as well. Your friend of mine, Coach, is going to join me tomorrow morning. Yeah.
I allude to Coach. Actually, the quote in my blog this week is by the Brendan Sinnott, and it is about Coach.
Yes. We'll have to read the blog to see the quote.
No, I'll just tell you, it's predictable and this game is great. And here's a little tease of my opinion of the Tribe's move this week. Brendan Sinnott was saying it's great to keep predictable players in the game.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Then we're going to have Kellen Bechtold on the feedback show this week. So a lot going on RGP, not to mention our exit interview with Tom Laidlaw coming up on Thursday. So be on the lookout for that as well. And Stephen, you and I were together in person last week at our live know-it-alls. Had so much fun getting together with everybody in New York City.
Oh my God. It was so fun. It's always so fun. It's such a blast. It's like, you know, I'm in like a fugue and then I like blink my eyes and it's like 2 a.m. and everyone has left and I'm, you know, alone in the bar.
Yeah.
No, it's really wonderful. There's such fun evenings.
And we had such a fun live show. Got to see everybody. I heard so many nice things after the fact. If you want to be with us in person for the next time around, December 4th, we'll be at the Brea Improv for our next live show. Rob has a website.com/Brea if you want to come out and see us
for that. The Beatles.
Yeah.
Like donkeys.
Just like donkeys and zebras. Yeah. That's going to be us. Okay. Steven. So this was an interesting tribal council where we basically got it down to three people. It was either going to be Tom, Dean, or Karishma. And yeah. I would have thought going in, Tom was the least likely of the three.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought looking at those people and looking at their various virtues, Tom is the kind of guy you want to keep. I mean, Janet sort of laid it out, right? Janet said, you know, Tom is this straight shooter.
Laid it out. Laid law out.
Tom is a straight shooter. He's not gonna, you know, he's gonna tell it like it is. He doesn't have subtext. He's not gonna be scrambling up and down the aisle. And those were the positives, right? Those are the good things about Tom. The bad things were he's always, you know, he's gonna be loyal to his homies, right? He's gonna like stick with his group, and not like flip around. But from my perspective, like that's an amazing quality. You know, you want people on Survivor who, as the great Brendan Sinnott said, are predictable. And you want someone like Tom who, like, yes, he might not be willing, he might not be going to vote with you, but you know exactly where he's going to be voting at all times. And boy, is that not true for Karishma.
Yeah. So you think that they made the wrong move here. That's interesting. I kind of like the creativity of what they did, because I just felt like that there were people who were Dean advocates we saw that Kelly had conversation with him and Jamal seemed like he was pro-Dean. And there certainly were people that ended up being Karishma advocates. It just seemed like that Tom ended up losing out in that there. I don't think there was anybody who was really willing to go to bat for him. It seemed like the closest he had to that person was Janet. And she was able to identify him as, okay, well, he's set in his ways. He's never going to ultimately go with us. And so they felt like that we need Dean for the challenges. And I think that they felt like that Tom wasn't that big of an upgrade over Karishma in the challenges.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, which is surprising, he seemed to like has like, totally, you know, acquit himself very well in challenges. You know, that the argument was, oh, he's good around camp, but he's not, you know, he doesn't really have a lot of endurance in the challenges. It's like, how do you talk about Tom's performance in the challenge when you have like Karishma's performance in the challenge? You know, it's like some like problem of scale there. It's like you're like measuring like between, I don't know, like a zebra and a donkey when you have an elephant next to you.
Zebra and donkey talk on this podcast.
That's what
lately.
I'm on. It's like, yeah. It's just like, yeah, Karishma is so bad that she is single-handedly costing her tribe
single-handedly, because she could cut one of her hands off. That's right. I was surprised that where they had her in this, it seemed like that she didn't really hold them back much in the immunity challenge. But in our first reward challenge of the season, it did seem like I know she has failed on the puzzle a couple of times, but I'm not sure how she ends up in the, like, being one of the sand wigglers as opposed to
sand wigglers.
Yes, as opposed to being a person who ends up on the puzzle.
Yeah, I think that maybe they felt like it was just, you know, anyone can shimmy, right? You wouldn't necessarily think that, like, shimmying. I mean, like,
shimmy
obviously
up a
when
hill.
You're like, right, well, but, you know, when it's happening and you see it, like, happening in real time, you're like, oh, my God, like, obviously you need to be so, like, athletic to shimmy up this hill like that. But, you know, when you're, like, looking at the hill, you're like, well, I mean, come on, anyone can, like, shimmy up a, you know, in the sand. I just think, like, it wasn't so obviously a physical challenge. It just seemed kind of like a gritted endurance challenge. And, like, literally they're gritting from the sand.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Stephen, if you were one of these people that was from Vokai, and then you were in sort of this power position, if we're that pretend we're out there and we have to decide between Dean, Tom, and Karishma, you're saying we vote out Karishma.
I think the conventional wisdom would be to keep Karishma, right? Because she's not going to be a threat at the merge. But now I think in, like, the world of Survivor that we're in, like, vote out Karishma for so many reasons. I mean, one of the big reasons is that, it's not like just like vote out Karishma. It's like keep Tom, right? Like, Tom is the, like, if I go back on Survivor, my dream would be to have a tribe full of Toms, like just people who are, like, telling you what they're going to do. They're not, like, going to make any, like, big plays, you know, so, like, you know, I mean, as Dean described Karishma, you know, she's, like, running off, pulling people in all directions.
Isn't that like Andrew Savage?
I'm saying vote me. I would vote me out. Yeah. Andrew Savage had it right. You want, like, the savages of the game. You sort of want those people around because they're not going to, I mean, not, you know, whatever. That was very specific. The other thing about Karishma too, is that now in the version of Survivor we're in now, the metagame, like, Karishma, if she makes it to the merge, she's going to make it to the end. Right. So,
yeah.
And that's just like, she's basically one less buffer that you have. So if you're any of those people, you have to be thinking, like, how do I not get eliminated? Right. Like, making it further in Survivor is, I mean, just about not getting eliminated week to week, right? It's about it always being someone else. It's not necessarily always about being the best player. It's about, like, someone else being worse than you. And to have Karishma there instead of someone who might get voted out, I think is very dangerous.
Now, let's say we're on this Vokai majority. That shouldn't our objective be that, hey, we've got the, you know, advantage in the numbers here. Let us go to tribal council every time out. Let's not risk that we're going to lose one of our original Vokai people in a 4-4 vote. Somebody has to draw rocks. Who knows what's going to happen? Don't we want to go to tribal council three times before the merge? Let's vote out Dean, Karishma, and Tom.
Yeah. I mean, I think, though, with, like, the danger of idols, you know, and all of the various advantages that are in the game, I think avoiding tribal council at all costs. You don't want to, like, make a sort of like a big swing like that and then have it blow up in your face, as it very well could. I think, you know, for anyone in this game, their priority has to be, like, how do I save myself over how do I save my tribe? But Rob, I feel like I was laying out the vote out Karishma argument. You are on the opposite side.
Oh, I just don't know necessarily what we're doing with Dean. I'll say I think they ended up making the right choice, because I think they ended up, like, landing on the person that was probably least likely to have the idol. Maybe that's the reason why they ended up not going with Dean. And I feel like that Karishma has come to them and said, look, I hate my tribe. I'm willing to sell them out. And she's going to be a number for them potentially. And she's somebody that they could use moving forward with the people that are building the bond with her. So I just don't think that Tom had a lot to offer. I understand that he was predictable, but he was also the easiest piece to remove tonight.
Yeah, I mean, there's something really good about having your enemies basically hate each other, right? Where if you vote out Karishma and then you've got Tom and Dean, like, that's a little voting block right there. Like, that's a little, like, faction right there. And but voting out Tom and just keeping Dean and Karishma, like, Dean and Karishma aren't working together. So, you know, keeping your enemies separated from each other, I think, is also useful. I don't think they should have. You're saying that you think Dean would have been a good person to vote out? I think Dean's, like, the guy you definitely keep here.
Why? Because he doesn't seem super loyal to his original tribe?
I think Dean hits all the boxes, right? He's good in the moment in terms of like challenge competitiveness for winning the actual challenges. He's, you know, clearly on the outs with his tribe as they, you know, because he was the only person like truly left out of the previous vote. And he's someone who is going to absorb a vote come the merge, right? He's like a big target at the merge. So he's going to be someone who is going to like, he's a good buffer to keep around.
But he's going to be annoying to deal with, where potentially he wins immunity. He's got somebody who could find idols, that he seems like he is scrappy. And I feel like that Tom is less of a pain in the neck to have to deal with. And certainly, you know, Karishma will be somebody who's taking up a spot moving forward. But I think that Dean is going to be the hardest piece to maneuver around.
Why is Dean someone who seems like he could find idols? That guy is like tripping over his own 2 feet.
He just seems like that he is the type of person that, you know, is going to be out idol hunting and somebody who is going to be potentially fits the type of the kind of person that finds a lot of idols on Survivor.
Really? Like, I just don't see it. He seems sort of like you know, the affable.
He's too clumsy to...
He's just not physically aware of his surroundings. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that I didn't get super affable from Dean.
Really? I feel like he's so affable. Like, his whole thing was, you know, his whole thing in the last episode was, I'm just going to, like, chill out on the beach and teach yoga, and people will come to me, and that's how I exercise my form of leadership, is by, you know, just being, like, being me and, like, letting people come.
Yeah. So... I don't know. I think that really for this group, what I'm worried about is that we get 2 weeks of potentially boring tribal councils where they just vote out Dean and Karishma anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it does seem like it's like Dean could be the next person to go, right? If they go back to tribal council, if they kept Karishma for this one, they're going to keep her for the next one.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because really, what's the point? Why are you trying so hard to keep the tribe strong when you have so many, so much dead weight to be able to get rid of between Dean and Karishma?
Yeah. Right. I think like if their like belief is we want to keep the people who are going to be most likely to be allied with Vokai in the merge, then, you know, then it wouldn't make sense to vote out Karishma the next time unless she did something really erratic.
Right. And from what we're hearing on the other tribe, like Orange is dead. There is no Laero tribe anymore. So that there's no group of Orange to be loyal to.
It's interesting. Like usually the smaller tribe is the one that like comes together. They vote out their, you know, dissidents. Like why is Laero doing so badly or at that? Like what is so wrong? What's so bad about Orange?
I think they started playing the game too hard, too fast. And then they started, ending up in like smaller factions in that group. And sort of like once they got down in the numbers, I think they're just looking at it up like, okay, well, let's position ourselves to take our smaller group, where we saw last week Missy made the move with Aaron to take out Chelsea. And then I think that was sort of like, okay, well, that Orange was dead from that point. And then they said, okay, well, when we get to the swap, and luckily they ended up on the same swap tribe, we'll have to flip with the other group and then go after one of our own.
I was surprised at how quickly Missy and Aaron were talking about how they needed to flip over.
Yeah, they're playing this game very fast, and I think that they're not really looking at it where, okay, it's seven. It's, I guess, what was it, 9-7, so we need to, you know, get two of their people. They're just like, well, that's gone, so we're just going to go ahead and jump on board their numbers and hope they have people that they want to get rid of.
Is this still, I mean, we talked about this a little bit in the last couple of weeks, but is this still the legacy of Ghost Island, where everyone's like, I don't want to be that person who's just, you know, allows myself to be led to the slaughter?
In which way? For the people that are on Laero, that they don't want to be seen as the, was it Malolos?
Yeah, the Malolo. And they are the Orange tribe. I mean, you know.
Yeah, they were the Orange tribe. But maybe it's just the stigma of, hey, don't put that Orange on me. I'm going to, I got to get away from this Orange group as fast as possible if I want to have a shot at this thing.
I mean, the orange-purple dynamic is pretty similar in terms of, you know, Navidi also was like another like larger tribe that managed to really stick together and vote out, you know, the Malolos pretty consistently.
Yeah. Until, you know, it's interesting because then in David versus Goliath, which was also purple versus orange, and then we stopped down to three tribes in David versus Goliath before we got to the merge. But then we saw, even though that the Goliaths had the majority at the merge, that there was this effort for the David to sort of reconstitute at one point.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're going to have that here in Lero versus Vokai. It doesn't seem like that Orange is going to be able to pick up the pieces and get back together.
No, I mean, they're really immediately fighting. And like maybe, you know, when it gets down to the nitty gritty, right? Like when there's like, you've got like this big mass of Vokai left, you know, as when in David versus Goliath, you know, just being that like extra person who is the Lero, you know, could give that person a lot of leverage, right? They can kind of like flip against the factions in Vokai in a way that, you know, Nick did, which is again, like a reason that Karishma is very dangerous.
Yeah.
Like to have Karishma in that spot instead of Tom, you definitely want it to be Tom.
Well, I think it's so interesting in terms of the way that the two tribes have operated early here in the season, where that they have basically these two people who are kind of like mirror images of one another in Karishma and Nora. And I thought that there was some poetic justice that those were the two people that were attached to each other in the challenge, Stephen. And both people are on the bottom of their groups. But in terms of, I don't know, it has to do with the perception of Karishma versus the perception of Nora, but Nora has never, even though she got set out of the challenge last time out, that she's fully still on board with her original tribe, that she is,
well, I think,
gung-ho. She's gung-ho, whereas Karishma is completely the opposite, where she's been alienated and ostracized and picked up on that, and they've done a much worse job of letting her see the blade that was coming for her or came close to cutting her a couple times, and now she's totally spooked and ready to jump ship.
I mean, I think part of that, too, is just the very fact that, you know, Nora is now part of this dominant tribe, right? Or this dominant group where, you know, for the previous 2 weeks of her survivor experience, every day she's been thinking, you know, I've got to hustle. Is it me? She's been scared. Now she's in this power position. You know, she can't contain herself. She's like cracking up with laughter at tribal council. Although to be fair, like Nora cracks up with laughter at everything. Whereas for Karishma, you know, the paranoia of being that, you know, potential boot is now just exacerbated. So I think like those dynamics are interesting too, where, you know, having been in that position of like being in the majority tribe after a swap, like it's wonderful. Like that's the best, you know, like the minority tribe is, they're like doing your errands. They're doing you favors. Like they're desperate to curry favor with you. You know, and you just get to like sit back. You don't have to like work that hard anymore. It's wonderful.
Steven, if you had to pick right now, don't worry about knowing this know-it-all. Who's going further in the game, Karishma or Nora, or are they both tied getting zero votes in the final three?
I think Nora, I mean, I definitely think Nora is getting zero votes in the final three. I don't think Karishma is necessarily going to make it that far.
Okay. So you got,
what do you think?
You have Nora over Karishma.
Yeah, I have Nora over Karishma. What do you think?
I'll say Karishma over Nora. I feel like that Nora is going to overplay, where I feel like that, well, I feel like that Karishma is not overestimating where she is in the game. Like, I think that she sort of like knows her position and is super paranoid about it, where Nora is oblivious to her position in the game. And I think that that is going to ultimately get her into a dangerous spot where she might play her way out of the game, as opposed to Karishma being very paranoid. It's going to be her every single time. Like, I think I'd rather side with the person who is feels like their position is actually worse than it might be, than the person who overestimates where their position is in the game.
That's very compellingly argued, and I have the same read on their characters and the reverse perception of like the result of those characters. So I think the person who's oblivious is going to be the one who you take further because they have no idea. That's the person who you just kind of like keep dragging along, right? Historically, mm-hmm. that's been that person. You know, it's like the Will Sims of the game or like the whoever. I mean, there's the Survivor is littered with the Philip Shepherds of the game, right? Versus the person who is self-aware and paranoid. And that's the person who's going to think, I need to make a move. I can see what's happening. I can see like three or four positions, you know, three or four moves away. That person is going to be the one at the final six or the final seven who's going to try to shake things up, and she's going to be the one who's ejected. But I like your reasoning a lot.
Okay, Steven, let's just talk about what's going on over on the Nouveau Kai where we have this 4-4 split. I feel like they're trying to tell us Elaine's in danger.
I know. There was a lot of like Elaine, like that wrestling match was like very strange. You had like Aaron and Missy being like, we have to flip on our allies. Elaine kind of saying like, I got so lucky. I'm safe. I'm here with my alliance. Everything did point to Elaine in trouble.
Yeah. Do you think that that's going to happen? Or do you think that that tribe will not attend a tribal council?
I think that that tribe seems stacked. I would be surprised if they went to tribal council again. If they do, I worry about Elaine.
Yeah. I don't think that the other tribe should be trying to win a tribal council or win a immunity challenge at this point. It just seems like that they have two votes that are just completely, right there for them in Dean and in Karishma. So
come on. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, I've finished your house.
No, would I throw the challenges?
You would throw it.
Yeah.
If that were you, though, you're like, this could like Karishma plays an idol. That could be me going home.
You think Karishma has an idol?
I'm not willing to take the chance. If I'm on Survivor, I'm doing everything to minimize the possibility of randomness.
Mm-hmm. Well, Steven, you wouldn't throw the challenge?
I'm always happy to throw a challenge, but not in that specific circumstance.
When you guys threw the challenge to vote out Monica Padilla.
Threw is a strong word.
Yeah, but that we do that when you aimed for the other team's target on purpose to throw the challenge.
Right. It's very generous, Rob.
Yes. That you weren't afraid Monica had the idol?
No.
Why?
Plus it was a total blindside. You know, she never saw it coming.
Okay. So, I mean, can we?
Whereas Karishma wouldn't be blindsided. You know, Karishma would probably.
She always thinks she's gone. Yeah. Okay. See, but we didn't see anything on the Island of the Idols this week. Did you miss it?
I did not, although I know that you hate the rewards, so you may have missed it.
Well, I think that this might be a little bit of an outlier, this episode, where
yeah.
I think that they had this Applebee's reward. And I don't know, for whatever reason, if it had to be this week or this night, whatever Applebee's wanted, okay, we want the episode that's going to air late October or whatever. I think that this was, they had to serve the master of Applebee's here. I appreciate that they didn't jam in Island of Idols on top of the reward challenge as well. So
it would have been a lot.
It would have been too much. So I really applaud them of like, okay, well, we have to do this reward challenge. We have to get Applebee's in there. All right, we'll put Rob and Sandra on the shelf and then we'll see them at the tribal council.
I just feel terrible for Rob and Sandra. Like, they must be so bored. Like, the one activity that they had every cycle, you know, they didn't even get this time. Like, what are they doing out there? Like, for what is this, 2 days, 3 days of literally nothing?
Yeah, I don't know.
It just seems so terrible. I would much rather.
Seems very boring.
Yeah.
I wonder if they, like, let them go to the challenges and they get to watch the challenges from the distance.
Oh, that would be nice.
Let them do something.
Oh my God. Yeah. Give him a book.
No.
You can give him a book? New Yorker.
That Boss Rob loves the New Yorker. Steven, now I'm so in the weeds on Rob and Sandra's commentary. Boston Rob said tonight, after Dean spoke at the tribal council, oh, Dean's definitely going home. Then he didn't. Yeah. And then after the vote happened, Boston Rob said, oh, they're not going to win any challenges now. Do I take this as foreshadowing that if Rob said it, that it's going to come true?
Well, Rob rescinded his point about Dean, right? Because then when Dean threw Karishma under the bus, yeah, like Rob undid his previous point. So I do think that if Rob said it, it's gonna come true. Like whenever you have Jeff, I remember like in Survivor Samoa, when Jeff, you guys threw the challenge to vote out Russell. There's, I predict trouble for this tribe. And then they fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
Would they have included that if they didn't fall apart? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. But I think that they shouldn't be trying to win any more challenges. So there's that also.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Okay. All right. We want to start to get to your questions here in a moment, but let's go ahead and thank our sponsor for this week's edition of the Survivor Know-It-Alls. We've been talking about it all season. Honey, the browser extension. Go to joinhoney.com/RHAP if you want to start saving money, Stephen. Wow. How about that?
It's like an Applebee's without even having to compete in a reward challenge.
Yeah, it'd be like if you went. It'd be like if you went there for dinner and said, "Hey, I'll have a shark bowl," and then they said, "With your Honey browser extension, that you were able to get whatever coupons were out there to be able to save you money." That's how Honey works. You shop, and then you hit the little Chrome browser extension button, and then it goes through and cycles through all of the different coupon codes that are out there, saving you from all of the work, and then you just get to save the money. I use it all the time. I don't make a purchase online without clicking a little button to see if there's any Honey coupons that are available. Sometimes there are. Once in a while, there aren't. But I know that I'm not getting ripped off, Stephen. It's the worst feeling if you realize after you bought something that, oh, there was a code. Oh, I didn't know that.
That's the worst. I'm like working to lease a car right now. And like, there's always like, oh my God, am I getting screwed? Am I getting ripped off? You know, is someone giving me a bad deal? I wish there were a Honey for car leasing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe buy it.
Why can't there be a browser extension on my life?
Yeah. Maybe buy a car online and then see if you can find anything. It's simple to install. Just put it on your Chrome browser. You'll save a ton of money. And also you get to see when on sites like Amazon, if the prices are going up or down. So go ahead and check it out. Honey has found its 10 million users over $1 billion in savings. There's no reason not to use Honey. It's free to use and installs on your computer in just two clicks. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/RHAP. That's joinhoney.com/RHAP. All right.
It's like being Dean and discovering you have a friend in common with Kelly, who's there facilitating your strategy.
Yeah. How about that? How did that work out, Stephen?
That was wild. Well, that was very funny. We didn't actually talk about that. That very funny interaction that they had, that sort of like a funny dynamic where it seemed like they were like being friends and it was like really chatty and fun. And then, you know, Dean was so charming that Kelly decided he can't be trusted.
Okay. Stephen, we're going to take questions from the YouTube chat just like this. Here is Lorenzo, who says, if Nora had her vote, would she have considered flipping? Do you think that Nora, if she had a choice, do you think that she would ever flip against Vokai?
I think Nora here is just so happy to be like in the in crowd, you know, like she's the one who from the beginning was like saying like, oh, I'm the outsider. I'm like on the outs. Like she's clearly just wanted so desperately to be on the ins. And now that she is with the tribe swap, I think she's just so delighted by that. There's no chance she's going to flip. What do you
think? I think that she's all in on like piling on the enemy. I think that she's probably very much, you know, Team Purple, Vokai strong. She's never flipping against them.
Yeah.
Okay. This was a question from one of our listeners who wanted to know if we could. Amanda says, Robin, Steven, who would you wear pictures of on your socks?
I would have pictures of you, Rob.
See, I feel like you have nice socks.
Not anymore. You know, I've had a lot of like feet injuries among my many other injuries.
No.
Now I wear like thick socks. Yeah, I'm very injury prone, Rob. I'm very frail.
Yes. So
you've seen my feet on national TV. It was not a pretty sight.
I just feel like that you're so dapper. I feel like that you would have like a collection of nice socks.
I have them, but I don't really have the opportunity to wear them.
Okay. So what would you have? Books on your socks?
I would have you. I'm
me?
Telling you.
It's no. Like
just as a reminder of who's going to be making fun of me if I ever screw up.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Let's see. Yeah.
Well, who would you have? What would you have? You'd have the bell.
Okay, bell socks. That would be good.
Yeah,
maybe we
that's
can,
pretty good. Yeah.
Maybe we can see if we can get those made up. Yeah. I do think that was like a nice thing that Aaron
I love
had.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was watching.
Do you think that's a smart way? Oh, go ahead.
I was watching the episode that my my son Dominic was up here, and he was watching the episode with me, and we were looking at that. Like, oh, look, that dad has his kid's socks on, or face on his socks.
What, and did Dominic like
that? He seemed somewhat impressed. Yeah.
Do you think that kid is going to be like the coolest kid in his elementary school?
Yeah, I don't think that a lot of Dominic's contemporaries watch Survivor. So I don't know necessarily that other kids their age really know what Survivor is.
He's dropping the ball. He needs to be a brand ambassador.
Maybe. So I'm sure.
If you want Survivor to continue, and you know our job talking about Survivor to continue, you need to get him.
Believe
young.
Me, Survivor knows this too.
Yeah.
So that I'm sure that Aaron's kids' classmates all know about Aaron's dad is on Survivor.
Is this a clever way to get like somewhat like you know it's hard to get like good outdoors clothing approved. Like what if you showed up with like a Gore-Tex you know like shoes or something or I don't know like some like out, like yeah outdoors person pants and be like oh, but my kid is on them, you know, it's like very personal. These pants are very personal to me.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have a lot of transparency into how the wardrobe is working these days.
That could be your gimmick, Rob. It's like go out there with like a fleece jacket, isn't it? But it's like, you know, you've got
Nicole's name embroidered on it. Okay.
Yeah.
What does Eli have to say, Steven?
Eli wants to know, Steven, who's getting the fishy this week? Rob, I'll let you take this one.
I think you're giving it to Janet.
No, interesting. But Janet was the only one who had a bond with Tom. I would think that, you know, given that she let Tom go, actually I'm giving it to Karishma.
Karishma.
Because I think it was such a bad decision. And I think Karishma did a great job in terms of getting the other tribe to make a terrible decision.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Good on Karishma. She did say she was going to play the social game. We did get to see her, talking with everybody that was on her tribe. So, good for Karishma.
We know that she went to at least a couple of people and said, I'm willing to flip on them. I have no connections to the other tribe. I'm completely with you. You know, the only time she really got upset was at tribal council when Tom was like, oh, you know who was there saving you. And Karishma was like, I absolutely do not. Cause her brand is being outcast, right? She didn't want anyone to like screw with her brand of being, you know, outcast from Old Larrow. And, she opened up, right? She shared personal stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think that she was a little surprised to see that personal stuff broadcast tonight on CBS primetime?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to. I think I need to watch the episode again. But I don't know what the reaction of anybody in Karishma's life watching the episode with her might have been tonight. But that if she wanted to have conversations, this is a great way to have conversations.
I mean, the thing is, like, you know, it seems like don't talk about your personal and don't talk about anything. Right? The obvious response is, well, you shouldn't talk about anything you want shared when there is a camera crew next to you. But the truth of the matter is that when you're out there, like, you kind of get a sense of what you think is relevant to the show, right? Oh, like a strategy conversation. They're going to be interested in that. Everyone talks about their personal lives. Everyone is sharing their romantic tribulations, their histories. Very rarely does it actually make the TV show.
Right.
So I wonder if she was a little bit taken.
I don't know.
But it was a great moment in terms of like gaining insight into her and to what she's dealing with and to like her transformation that's happening. I thought it was a really beautiful personal moment.
Yeah, very interesting. I'd like to hear more about that whole part of Christmas world.
Yeah. Anyway, great moment. Like I want to see more of that from all of the other different contestants. And you know, people, when you go on TV, if there's a camera there, don't say it if you don't want it to be on TV.
Okay. Steven, Caitlin AM wants to ask, since we continue to see goats being dragged to the final three, at what point do you think being a goat is credited as a legitimate winning strategy at the final tribal council? Do you think that we will reach a point where a Survivor player can own this strategy of, I wasn't dragged, I got here on purpose?
I was dragged on purpose.
I was dragged on purpose, which, again, I think that just to go back to the poetic justice of Karishma and Nora, that this was Karishma was literally dragged to the finish line by Nora in this challenge tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I don't think that will ever be the case.
Yeah. That we, you and I, in the one season of Australian Survivor that we podcast about, I think we saw like the closest version of this, yes, at least from the international Survivor that I've seen. And I understand that there may be some other better examples of this, of that if you could really just pound the table and say, no, I did this on purpose. This was my whole plan the whole time. And if you end up in the right spot, I do think that there is something here.
I guess that's it. I mean, I've talked to some of those people on that jury and said, like, what on earth were you doing? Mm-hmm. And basically their argument was, we just disliked Lee more. Mm-hmm. So I think that's it. You can say anything you want if the person you're sitting next to is even more hated than you.
Yeah. Are. Okay. So if you get dragged there by the right person, and I guess you could say that with like Survivor Samoa, that's not totally dissimilar. If the jury doesn't want to vote for the person that dragged you, then that whatever you're saying is good enough for them.
Yeah. I think that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good question. That's a fun question.
Okay. How about this question from Eli? Imagine we get a surprise final two. Who would win between Nora and Karishma?
Wow. Again, I think it's just like who they dislike more. I don't think it's going to be like a strategic. I mean, I would think you'd vote for Karishma in that situation, but
I think it'll depend who has more Lyro and Vokai on the jury. I feel like Nora would win in that scenario.
Interesting. I think Karishma would win. I mean, but you're saying that like, because I think like, Vokai is voting against Nora, right? Because they're like the most annoyed by her, whereas they'll be like less annoyed by Karishma. Like Karishma like joined us. She was on our team. You know, she's the one who flipped to be with us, whereas Nora is that irritant we've been wanting to get rid of the whole game.
See, I feel like that if they both got to the end together, I feel like that it would be I don't even know what the scenario. I feel like that probably Nora won a bunch of challenges down the stretch, brought Karishma. Karishma flipped against her original tribe, but there's probably less of them on the jury. But I feel like that Nora has the thing like she's wacky, but she's our wacko.
See, I think she's like, I think the, I mean, I definitely see your reasoning. I just disagree with
that. Okay. Yeah. So I'm so spun around right now. Am I more team Nora or are you more team Nora?
I think you're more team Nora and I'm more team Karishma. Although you think Nora's going to get further. Or sorry, you think Karishma is going to get further and I think Nora's going to get further.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, I think Karishma is going to get further, but I think that Nora would win in the final too.
Yeah, we're in opposite on both of these.
Although I do think that Nora is way more delusional. I don't think really Karishma is delusional at all. So I think that in the final two, when you talk to the jury, I think being delusional is a bad thing.
Well, that's what I think. You want to vote for someone who made moves to get there. I think Karishma will have a more compelling story in this scenario. Has a more compelling story of I was in this spot, I jumped. You know, here are the things I did to get here. And the very fact that no one thought she would make it to the swap, right? I mean, you had Janet saying that to Tom someone saying that to Tom. We never thought Karishma would make it this far.
Okay. Logan says, does the Aaron and Tommy relationship last, Steven?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
A little?
I mean, how many relationships does Tommy have?
Tommy's friends with everybody.
Got a lot of relationships going on. It seemed like that they were setting up some sort of like a meat shield structure of, hey, you're going to win challenges. I'm going to win challenges. If I don't win immunity, like don't be coming for me. I won't come for you. Do you think that is the right approach for those guys?
I guess so. Yeah. Right. I mean, you want the other one around. I mean, it definitely behooves Tommy to have Aaron around. I guess it probably behooves Aaron to have Tommy around. Although I think it helps Tommy more to have Aaron there than it helps Aaron to have Tommy, simply because Tommy's in the majority.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if for Missy and for Aaron, like just piling on to Vokai, is this the right move? Do you feel like that this is going to last?
I mean, what's interesting is how united Vokai seems to be for the most part, you know, and it does remind me a little bit of Malolo and Navidi and Ghost Island.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to hear Kellen's take where, you know, if we were seeing cracks in the Vokai tribe, you could say like, oh, this is great. They're going to like work within those cracks, but they do seem to, I mean, from what we've seen, right, they seem to be a relatively you know, coherent, cohesive tribe.
It seemed like that the only crack there is that everybody's on board with voting out Nora, and then Jamal was like the one insurgent in the group where that he was the person who got blindsided on the Molly vote, and he might be wanting to do his own thing. He also has an idol, but we didn't really see, except, you know, a little bit of Jamal talking to Dean, that like Jamal does not really seem to have an army.
Yeah, and he seemed to be into doing whatever, like, the group. I mean, his rationale, right, for this vote was when Jeff asked him that question at Tribal Council, his answer was, I want to do the thing that kind of best helps our tribe.
Right.
And whether that's having someone who, you know, who has connections to the other side or someone who doesn't have connections to the other side, like, my question is, like, what's going to help the Vokai tribe moving forward?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, that's at Tribal Council, so, like, you may not be being honest, but... You know, he's thinking about the group dynamic.
Yeah. Anyway. I feel like that for Jamal, I feel like that his best case scenario is keep Dean into the merge and then somehow link back up with Aaron and with Missy. I feel like that then they could be able to form some other group of like a cross-tribal group that could maybe come together and take out some of the Vokai numbers.
Would Nora be, is it just like the dissidents from the Vokai who would like flip on Vokai?
I don't know if Nora's going to flip. I think that she seemed like that she has the tightest bond with Jason, and we haven't really seen her have a super tight relationship with anybody else.
Yeah.
I don't know where she would go.
Jason. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. We haven't talked about Jason at all.
To talk about?
I don't know. Just he seems to be in a good spot. You know, he was out on the outs in the.
Oh yeah, he's all the way back in. He's all the way back in. Yeah. Did a good job on the puzzle tonight. Seemed very excited about Applebee's.
He's hitting all the notes.
Yeah,
you know, great job on the puzzle. Had great great sound bites about
a lot
Applebee's.
Of Applebee's on Long Island, Stephen. So he seemed to be excited there also. All right. Anything else from this round to play? Anything else you want to highlight tonight?
You're in favor of this group's decision. Who do you think it benefits the most from the Vokai tribe? Like, who do you think, you know, obviously we're saying the Vokai tribe as a group is making this choice. Like, who do you think really benefits from voting out Tom and keeping Karishma?
It seemed like to me the people that it benefits were the people that we saw talking with Karishma. And I think that that's probably... Janet. It seemed like that Jack also, who had a quiet episode, it seemed like that he was in there as well, talking with Karishma about what was going on in her life. So I think that those people seem like that they benefit from keeping Karishma around.
And, you know, the big one was Kelly. Kelly was the first person she went to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Kelly seemed like the big winner overall because she seemed like that she was the one person that was in the Venn diagram of people that want to keep Karishma and people that want to keep Dean. She didn't have any connection with Tom.
Yeah, I agree. I think Kelly is in a great spot. She's I guess her idol is now expired, right?
So confusing. And I saw, you know, David Bloomberg was calling us out that, see?
Oh, she has one more. She has one more, right.
But, you know, it's very confusing. Just tell us
that's a very confusing mechanic, yeah.
Yeah, just tell us what day. It expires this day, then we know.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't even brought up tonight that Kelly had an idol.
Yeah, the Nora's vote loss was, but yeah, Kelly's idol was not. Yeah, but she's in a great spot. Everyone comes to her, but she doesn't really seem to be like the one anyone, you know, she doesn't seem to really take a leadership role. I think she's really good. Like, you even watch her in these small interactions with people, and she's just really good at always playing to them. You know,
From Robin Sandra.
Exactly. Always pay attention. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So if Kelly wins this game, you know, it all came down to that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Check out Stephen Fishback's blog. It is at Stephen Fishback. You'll get the link to the people.com strategy blog. Hear what Stephen has to say. Read Brendan's quote about Coach.
Yeah,
that'll get you ready.
And then you can listen to Coach.
Yeah, and then you can get and listen to Coach, who's going to be on the podcast tomorrow. So
this is like synergy.
Yeah, we're on the same page. So be on the lookout for that, plus everything. I don't have Scott to put up all of the things that are coming up on the podcast, but we have our exit interview. I'll talk with Kellen as well on our feedback show this weekend, and then we'll get to the Wiggle Room on Monday. Normally, we have the Wiggle Room with This Week in Survivor, but I that Jordan Kalish may be out sick this week. We that just want to give people a heads up. By the way, Robin Akiva need a podcast, season 3, episode 7 of Friends. We did our rewatch. Steve, were you a Friends guy?
I was not a Friends guy.
Oh, really? I feel like what were you doing during those years?
I don't know. Not watching Friends. I liked Seinfeld. I never got into Friends.
Didn't get into Friends. Wow.
Were you a big Friends fan?
I was a bigger Seinfeld fan, but sure. I mean, what else did I have to do from 1994 to 2004?
I guess that's
not a lot. Believe me. So
I guess that's a fair.
Yeah, those were my friends for probably 5 or 6 of those years. So,
you know, I was in Friends is an international language. I was in a little bar when I was in Ethiopia, and they had Friends reruns, and everyone was like gathered around this TV watching Friends reruns. So it's an international show.
Yeah, and some people learn English that way.
That was the thing. There was subtitle.
Yeah. So Robin Akiva need a podcast plus everything going on. Why Tom Lost is coming. Plus, we'll also get into the RHAP B&B and much more, all on robiswebsite.com. Of course, we could not do it without the support of our patrons. Find out more about everything we have going on over at robiswebsite.com/patron. We have access to our patron-only podcast feed and much more at robhasawebsite.com/patron. And Steven, can't wait to do it again next week. Do you think we'll have one or two more episodes until we get to the merge?
One more,
and then the merge?
Well, how many people is it left?
So
now it's like 15
people. So that would be
maybe two more.
Two more.
Yeah. Okay. Or a double elimination?
A double elimination would be good, but we have not heard about a two-hour episode.
They've got to do something, right? Because so far there's been no medevacs, no, you know. Usually with 20-person season, you kind of rely on –
We don't know necessarily if there's medical evacuations to come. That's not the kind of stuff that we necessarily would know at this point in time.
No.
Okay. All right. Stephen Fishbeck.
Rob, Sister Nina.
Great job by you.
Hey, no, great job by you, buddy.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. We'll be back with more Survivor Know-It-Alls next week. And be sure to check out our coverage coming up all at robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.